Greetings. This is James Gellner with As You Wish Talk Radio, and welcome to the show. We're going to have a great show today because this show is going to depend on you, the listeners, to start asking some very important questions. So if you've got your pencils out, I can give you the numbers here. And so go ahead and get your pens, your pencils, or you can just go to the site. I'm sure you're on your computers already and look at the call-in numbers for Station 1. And we can go ahead and give you those numbers. But we've got, we can give those in just a minute here. We just had them popping up on the screen. But anyway, the show tonight, I want to talk about a few things. There's a lot going on here at ISETI. And one of the things that we're working on is a project where we've been watching all of these movies coming out and UFO movies. And I won't mention any of the names of some of these movies that are just pretty bad, you know, I'd have to say. And they're written for a reason, and a lot of it is to steer all the information to one group and steer all the attention to one group. And that group is to keep the energy in the past, to keep it away from contact happening now and the benevolent beings that are approaching so many people on the planet. It's just not coming out, unfortunately. And so a lot of these movies are really bent in a direction that will, gear everything into a messiah or one person, you know, is going to open the door for all this to happen. And it doesn't work that way because we need to rise to the occasion. If we're going to have contact, we need to do our part. And it's about personal responsibility. And there's no, you know, what's the sense of coming to a planet with a bunch of wretched people on it that are bent on destroying themselves and their environment and are acting totally unconscious? It just doesn't work that way. These beings are not going to come here to babysit. And the beings that are already here, the other beings, you know, some people call it the Archon Network. Everybody has a name for it. There are kind of demonic or astral beings or, let's say, degenerate or regenerate ETs as well that have already been wreaking havoc on the planet and influencing a lot of people. And that's been going on for quite some time. So we're going to have to break out of that network if we are going to be working with these benevolent beings. So although they have totally intervened and interfered with our evolutionary process, that part of the equation is going to be taken out here shortly. And we are only going to be left with our own means and desires and programs and things like that. So we've got to really get together, you know, with each other and start focusing on, you know, the universal principles necessary for a healthy society and environment. You know, basically, you know, they're written within the hearts of everyone. And it's universal peace, brother, sisterly love. You know, it's a strong reverence for life, honoring the sacred circle of life, individual freedom and prosperity for everybody. It's called unity consciousness, and that's where we need to go if we are going to be contacting these beings, because these beings reside in unity consciousness. They operate under universal law, and we have to rise to the occasion. So it's all about all of us doing our part and rising to the occasion. We were talking about disclosure earlier, and waiting for an external authority to disclose to you that it's okay to believe in UFOs is ridiculous. And how long are we going to do that? We're waiting for external authorities to tell us everything. You know, it sounds ridiculous, but I saw a South Park episode where they had the TSA, you know, and they're the toilet security agency or whatever, wiping everybody's butts, you know, and trying to make sure everything was done right. And we've almost gotten to that. It's very sad that where this planet has gotten. And now we have the NSA, which is spying on everything and totally controlling and manipulating everything. And it just goes on and on. You got the NSA, the TSA, every alphabet you can think of combined together to give as an external authority to take care of our business, which we should be taking care of ourselves. And, you know, it's just gotten out of control. And it's just unbelievable where this has gone. But anyway, to make a long story short, we are embarking on a bold new adventure, and that adventure is to make our own movie. And we're going to make a movie that will cover contact from the very beginning and showing that there's a heart connection. It's not a mind connection, it's a heart connection. And we're going to go from childhood on and have a story that involves two people that eventually come together in the end. And I can't tell you too much about this, but it's going to be very exciting. And, you know, the truth is much more exciting than the fiction. So this is going to have, it's going to be based on truth, but, you know, there'll be a lot of, hopefully a lot of special effects and a lot of other things involved in this. And it's going to give the big picture and it's going to give the whole truth. So there are groups out there that are saying there are no regenerate ETs, there are no negative ETs, you know, and that is a very dangerous place to be putting people, because people just open up to anything that comes along. It's like saying there's no negative spirits or no astral beings or no discarnate spirits that are confused and messed up and need healing. So, you know, it's as above, so below. But anyway, you know, it's, we're going to put out a picture that, that, or a movie that shows the whole enchilada, the whole picture, which means to be enlightened. Enlightenment means to be in knowledge of all of it. The good, the bad, the ugly, you know. So we're going to cover the whole enchilada there with this picture. And then when people understand their ancient roots, they understand the connections between the star nations, they understand how much we've been manipulated. Through that understanding comes the awakening. And that's what we're working on. And there's a few other projects we've got going on as well, you know, that that we're working on. We're having a wonderful group here. We've got the Yelmanites from Yelm that have come up and to have a sky watch. And so they're going to be here watching the ships and watching the UFOs coming out. You know, so that's going to be interesting. We have a very good group here, a very large group, and they're very – a lot of awake people in this group, so I'm sure the ships are going to put on a show, because they come as close as the group that's engaging them. So if you're unconscious, you're not going to have much of an experience unless it's a negative experience, which you really don't want. So the benevolent beings are going to, you know, keep their distance. You're going to see them on high, flying around in the heavens. And when you're ready, they will find you. They'll feel your energy signature, and they'll know that you're ready, and that's when they'll find you. And, you know, it took me, I had to die a couple times, and 30 years of intense training, you know, through yogis and masters and Tibetan lamas, and I can go on and on. I learned every process-oriented therapy you could think of, basically, in intensive training to clear out my own baggage just so I could have a contact and connect. So anyway, that's the program that I went through. I'm not saying everybody has to do that, because the energies are very thin right now. The veils are very thin between worlds. And there is a grand awakening happening. I know on the 22nd, which is there is a Star of David happening in the heavens on July 22nd. And then there's a double Star of David, I think, on the 29th. And so there's huge alignments coming up. And, you know, the 22nd is, I think it's awesome. It's happening on the 22nd, which just happens to be my birthday. So, and I want to give thanks to whoever sent me those crows. I haven't found the packing slip yet. I'm still looking for it, but I got a whole case of crows, and they're like a licorice, like a gumdrop type of thing that you never find them anymore. And I used to eat them as a kid, and somebody had the beautiful insight and grace and love to send me a whole case of those. And so whoever did that, I'm sure I'll find the packing slip and find out who you are and give you personal thanks. But anyway, that was awesome to get that. I'm trying to think of where else I want to go with this. There's so many things going on. The planet is definitely overheating. You know, we're having record droughts and record floods at the same time, record heat waves. You know, it's all over the place. And I don't think we can call it, we need to call it climate change. I don't think we can call it global warming anymore. We need to call it climate change, because the climate's all over the place. And so people are getting flooded out or going, what are you talking about? You know, with this global warming, you know, we're underwater. And the people that are being burned out, you know, are you know, like hitting those 120 degree weather patterns coming through, you know, are saying this, the opposite. So anyway, it's all over the scale. The earth is in turmoil, and we are aligning with galactic plane, which is having a huge influence on the planet, which is the main influence that we're dealing with right now. and our magnetic fields are down at least 10%. So we have 10% more energy hitting the planet than before, along with the galactic plane shift, and along with a lot more meteors coming in because there's a lot of debris in the area we're going through, the dark rift. And there's, I can go on and on with this, but it's going to get real exciting here. And the Earth is, you know, I know the earthquakes have gone up, I think something like 400%, and the volcanoes have gone off like 500%. So there's a massive increase in activity on the planet, and we just can't deny that anymore. It's undeniable. So a lot of people say, "Oh, yeah, this is gloom and doom. This is fear porn." No, it's statistics. You know, it's not. It's just look at the numbers. Pay attention to what your mother's doing under your feet, you know, and you'll figure it out. But anyway, there's a lot going on. We need to start paying attention to what's happening and how these energies are affecting us. And the one of the things I wanted to open the lines up for questions. So if you wanted to call in, we've got several lines here. It looks like they've even added some new lines, which is interesting. But we've got lines 1 through 5 here. We've got 530-327-7602 is line 1. 530-413-4522 is line 2. 530-4113-5011 is line 3. And boy, there's quite a few lines in here. I'm looking at here's the Canada line. If you want to, if for USA and Canada, the toll free line, which you might want to use, is 888-627-6008. So if you want to call in, the easiest numbers to call in are 888-627-6008. That's the toll free line. Or 530-413-4522 or 530-413-5011. So feel free to call in if you've got questions about the changes. And we've got some really nice couple emails here that people are asking. And I have my friend, lovely friend here, Michelle Long, who's going to ask one of the questions on the air.
Okay, hello. The first question is, how is the energy affecting relationships?
Wow, that's a big one. With this huge influx of energy, with the solar flares hitting, the cosmic rays, the gamma ray bursts especially, you know, that's seventh level consciousness coming in, hitting the planet. So we have to rise to the occasion. And when these energies come in, people react to them differently. And some people will get really lethargic and really tired, you know, and they just can't get up. Some people get very agitated, you know, when these energies come in. Some people will move into emotional outbursts and go into projection and blame mode and try to blame others for their feelings or their lack of love or joy or abundance in their life or whatever. And some people are going to ride these like a wave and just go, whoa, and just get higher in a kite with these energies. And it's getting really interesting because in couples, you know, the couples are going through these waves of highs and lows, and sometimes they don't sync up. And sometimes one couple is just taking off and awakening and advancing, where the other person in the couple might be holding back and just, you know, not opening up, you know, and holding back. And so that creates a lot of trauma, you know, and a lot of working things out. And if you understand this is a process, and, you know, be compassionate, because, you know, there were times that we were all kind of stuck in our heads, or we thought this is the way things are, and we had a very strong ego, you might say, that this is how things are, and this is the way things need to be, and things like that. And we're finding that there might be multiple ways things can be, and this may not be the only way things can be. And then we have to kind of back away a little bit, you know, and allow others their truths and others their experiences. So it's very, relationships are rough right now. They're very tough. A lot of people are, the polarities are getting too strong between couples, and one will be going one way and another going the other way. So there's a lot of divisions, a lot of splitting going on. There's all kinds of things happening, you know, in these relationships that are rough right now. So Every time we get hit by a major solar flare, these gamma ray bursts, the bioelectric fields are being activated. All of your attitudes, emotions, and beliefs in the outer world in which we live are being shaken right now to the core. And we're being invited to go to the next level. And so that's what we need to do. We need to go to the next level and ride this wave, because the Earth is ascending. It's not optional anymore. We have to go with the planet. And I apologize for a little of the background noise here. We have a huge group out in the field, and I'm just outside the field right now. And we could close our windows, but it is about 90 degrees here right now up on the mountain, which is part of this global warming program or climate change. And so we've got a couple more questions here, and I'll let Michelle ask those questions.
Okay, the next question is falls in nicely to what you were just talking about. How are the solar flares affecting us and the Earth?
Well, the solar flares are quite interesting, because every time we get hit by one of these solar flares, you just watch the first, when you see these solar flares leave, the people who are sensitive will feel them right away. And they go, what is going on? And they'll feel a little off. You know, some people are actually kind of getting dizzy. They're getting a little disoriented, or they're just feeling, you know, really disrupted by these energies. The more sensitive you are, you feel them before they come in. And again, they affect the bioelectric fields around the human body, which throw people into process. And some people get really irritable, and some people get lethargic. You know, everybody is different. When they did research with monkeys at Stanford, exposed them to fluctuations in the magnetic fields, they went from comatose to self-mutilation. So we don't have to behave like monkeys when we know these energies are coming in. And we take responsibility for our attitudes and emotions and feelings and heal them and connect with our own God selves, you might say. We can clear these energies out, see them as a godsend. Now, on another level, what they do is they create severe weather. And they're going to really, whatever storms are going on are going to be highly activated and increased. You're going to have real severe weather hitting a lot of the different states, depending on what's going on the planet. But they create very severe weather. Another thing that they do is they increase the earthquake and volcanic activity. So whenever one of these massive flares go off, it hits the planet usually in about 3 days. The gamma rays and higher rays hit it earlier. But after about 3 days, you watch and you'll start seeing a lot of, you know, an uptick in the earthquake and volcanic activity, you know, as well as the severe weather. So it's usually the weather first, and then the earth reacts as well. So it's hitting us on every level, and it's just time to pay attention. And plus, the fields are down. So again, you've got the magnetic fields of Earth are down, so it's hitting us pretty hard. I think we've got one more question here that's come in.
Okay, this one is about Esedi Ranch. The email, they want to know, why is there so much activity over Esedi Ranch and Mount Adams?
That's interesting. The Esedi Ranch, the activity was happening here way back. The Native Americans know all about this activity. They know there are beings actually based underneath the mountain and underneath other areas in the area. And it's a benevolent base, and it's tied in with the inner earth as well. So this goes back to ancient Atlantis and Lemuria and beings that went underground, as well as other beings that they met when they went underground that were already there. And it also ties into the star nations, the Pleiadians, you know, the Orion Council of Light, the Andromedans, you know, the Arcturians. I'm sure I'm missing a couple, but they're also aligned, you know, with the beings on the inner earth, and the ancient Atlanteans and Lemurians, or the Hyperboreans as well. Some people call them under Shasta. But anyway, this area has a long, long history of activity, of UFO activity. The Native Americans, they have it all in their ancient lore. They talk about taking their sick and their wounded up to a certain place on the mountain where they would open a door and take them in, and they'd have broken bones or being very ill, and they'd come back out a day or two later and be totally mended. So these beings are very, very advanced. They have extreme technologies, especially healing technologies there, but they shut the door. They closed it out because the people on the surface were becoming much too aggressive and much, you know, very unconscious, and they had to just kind of separate themselves over time. Now, Kenneth Arnold also spotted the ships flying over the western slopes of Mount Adams, where they went down and landed, and he lost sight of them. So you've got Kenneth Arnold with his story about Mount Adams. David Akers, Greg Long, Bill Vogel, all these investigators have investigated Mount Adams, the nocturnal lights and all the activity up there. And on top of that, I think Dr. Jalen Hynek also did a major investigation about what's happening up here on the mountain. So it has a long history of UFO activity. And what's interesting is probably the most censored UFO hotspot on the planet, especially here in the States. It's been highly censored and highly diverted. And if you call up the International UFO Reporting Center and say, hey, I just saw a ship, you know, fly right over my head at the East Eddy Ranch or near Mount Adams, you're probably going to get blacklisted and have a nasty little comment coming your way, because people aren't who you think they are. So there's a lot of planned opposition. There's people of different agencies put in place to censor this information. And again, they don't want any information out of contact happening now with benevolent beings. They want to keep everything in the past and everything steered and controlled to, you know, into a small area where they can control it. And a lot of these people that are working there are still waiting for the government to say it's okay. And we keep asking, why are we waiting for an external authority to tell us it's okay to believe what we already know is to be true? You know, the Times polls, Times CNN polls are in the high 80s and high 90s now that people believe UFOs are real and the government is covering it up. So the cover-up's over. I mean, it's done. And I don't know why we're still waiting for some external authority. It's like the sheep are just like buying, you know, looking up, waiting for somebody to come up the top of the mountain and say, okay, you know, it's okay to believe in those ships that you've been watching flying over your head for the past, you know, whatever, 100,000 years. But it's been going on for a long, long time. And what was the question? Why is there so much activity?
Yeah.
It's been ongoing. And I think also, too, is that we have risen to the occasion here at East Eddy. We've been here 26 years. We've been doing intense process-oriented therapies here. We've been doing deep meditations, teaching a lot of different meditations. We've been very eclectic. We have people from all walks of life. We have physicists, scientists from every, you know, every arena coming up here. You know, we have yogis, lamas, teachers, healers, people from every walk of life coming to the ranch and talking and sharing. And so we aren't a religion, you know, we aren't pigeonholed into any one group. We're very eclectic here because of the work that we've been doing here and engaging them spiritually, that they're very excited. And that's why they fly over and do what we call dazzle duty on a regular basis. They'll actually come fly over and put on quite a show to let people know they are here and they do exist. And so, you know, basically, I guess that answers that question.
There was another question along with that is, what drew you to this specific location?
Wow, that's a long one. After I had my near-death experience, I was in Santa Cruz, California. And I was with the Tibetan Foundation and also the Teachers of the Inner Christ. I was working with both of those groups and Unity Church as well. And I was having a lot of visions and a lot of sightings of UFOs and things like that. And I kept seeing visions of this large mountain, snow-covered mountain in front of me, and a river on the eastern border, and then a little mountain behind me. And in the vision, I would see the words Little Mountain. And it made no sense because there was a massive mountain in the vision, and I couldn't understand why they would put Little Mountain. And when I ended up here anyway, after using a divining rods and pendulum on a map of the United States, and I finally found out where this was location, I threw it in the closet and forgot about it, and I ended up here anyway through a series of synchronicities. And it's funny because I pulled the map out and ended up right here, exactly where the vision said it was. And the place I ended up at through a series of events is exactly like the vision. And it has the Mount Adams in front. It has the White Sand River on the eastern border. And there's a mountain behind me called Little Mountain. The weird thing about it is I'm on Little Mountain Road. So that's why the words Little Mountain came up. And that was quite interesting. But the way that happened, and I just followed the vision. And I've always been that way. I've always been very inner inspired, or use my inner guidance. And when the inner guidance is strong, and sometimes even when I don't follow the inner guidance, I end up where I'm supposed to be anyway, because the universe just sets it up that way. So there is a bigger picture, and agreements made, and you know, people come into our lives to fulfill these agreements, and you know that, and we have inspirations to go here or go there, and we have to master loving detachment when we are moving, you know, on this train, you might say, to enlightenment or ascension or whatever we're doing on this planet, because you know, we are being guided pretty strongly right now to make some choices. And the bottom line is we have to choose love, and we have to choose service, you know, and we need to align ourselves with our own inner guides, our own God selves, and connect from there, which is a whole nother story, because we've been following a lot of other gods, you know, for a long time. And it's time to pull in and make our own personal God connection and go from there. We've still got some time here. We've got a half an hour left. So if anybody wants to call in, the call-in numbers are there. You can call 1-888-627-6008 or 530-413-4522. Or 530-413-5011. And so this is your hour. You know, if you want to ask these questions, you can ask any questions you like, and I'll do the best I can to answer them from my perspective. And we have to always realize that when you are answering questions, it's always coming from another person's perspective or from their experience. And so we always need to run that by your own inner guidance to see if that fits for you. We were talking earlier about, we've been getting a lot of information about the ancient gods. Speaking of the ancient gods, you know, the Enki, Anu, Enlil, all those connections happening and all the things that are happening there. And, you know, there was all kinds of in-house fighting going on, you know, with the ancient Anunnaki and coups, you know, and things happening. And it seems when you come back to Earth, it's like, we have those same genes. We're doing the same thing, and we're splitting up into different factions and dividing. And, you know, we did it in Atlantis and Lemuria as well. We divided ourselves. You know, the Atlanteans worshiped the intellect and science and started moving into power over others and fell and misused their science and created great wars and cataclysms as well. And, you know, the Lemurians or the ancient Mu, they were more into worshiping the unseen God in everyone and everything. And they were aligned with unity consciousness. And they're very, very advanced beings. And they had no hierarchy within their system. Like, everybody was equal. And they helped those less fortunate to rise to the occasion and be all they could be. So it was a whole civilization based on service and unity consciousness, and they flourished, you know, until the Atlanteans got a little ticked off with them reminding them that they fell and that they were going in the wrong direction. And then they had some serious problems. But you can see that, you know, in today's structure as well. We used to have the Republicans and the Democrats, and the Republicans were more into power over others and monetary and gain you know, survival of the fittest and going in that program, you know, the strong, you know, rule, basically, you know, he with the most gold makes the rules. And then you had the Democrats, which were supposed to be more for the people, you know, and the labor parties and things like that. And now they've evolved into one system. You know, it's just to give you the illusion that you have a choice, but everything is orchestrated on another level. But there's so many... so many mess ups going on that we keep doing the same program over and over again, and we've been so tinkered with by other civilizations over the years that it's really time to get back to the basics. And there have been masters that have come to the earth over and over that have taught us the basics. You know, they taught us about love and service and, you know, loving each other and honoring the creator and all creation. So basically, We need to get back to the basics again and get back to the universal principles and universal law and get back on track and stop listening to these nutcases that have run the planet for eons. But anyway, we've got a caller here. I believe we have Roger from Lincoln, Nebraska on line one. Roger, are you with us?
Yeah, James, I'd like to say that you are right. You do connect to the heart. And I'd like to say that the movie The Secret and What Do We Know, they're kind of off a little bit because what you do is when you go to your heart and be honest, the energy changes when you do the healing. That's when it really changes. Otherwise, you keep going around and around. But you do connect through the heart. And I went to one of these UFO conferences, and I tried to tell one of these ufologists had a big name, this kind of stuff, and she just snubbed me and didn't want to listen to what I had to say and practice censorship because she doesn't like what I have to say and it doesn't fit in with her idea. So, like you said, there is censorship going on.
Oh, yeah. There definitely, especially what's amazing is usually with women, because the women are more heart-centered and they get it. And they, you know, there's people out there like Mary Rodwell.
She gets it, yeah.
Lamb, a lot of other people out there that are very, very awake, and they understand the big picture, but you just don't hear much from them anymore because they're too busy creating the mental constructs and the fear, you know, and they're coming to get you, and we should be very afraid and are keeping it all in the past, you know, and they're keeping it out of the higher, more benevolent factions that are here now.
Well, see, I think you connect to the heart, and what it's about is the multidimensional being and multidimensional consciousness, and I don't think we even need spaceships to travel the cosmos. I think we can do it on our own. And through this consciousness, you can do all kinds of things. And once you connect to the heart, honestly, you can make any kind of attempt you want with other beings. And they'll just open up to you naturally. And people don't seem to understand this. They think you have to have some kind of special permission or something. And a lot of these ufologists think it's all about some spaceship out there or shaking some little green man's hand. And that's not what it's about, you know.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, people don't realize the intellect is just a drop in the sea of consciousness, and your mm-hmm. emotional body is much more vast.
Mm-hmm.
And the emotional body you access through the heart, and through the mm-hmm. heart you connect to the soul. Your soul sits right there through the heart. And
yeah.
Your soul's the connector to the source. It's infinite wisdom, you know, the one mm-hmm. consciousness that encompasses all consciousness you connect with through the heart. And they miss that. And people mm-hmm. lock themselves into the intellect. And, mm-hmm. and like you're saying, you know, when you create a Merkaba and you start traveling in spirit, you can go to, you know, the seventh dimension and beyond mm-hmm. if you want.
Anywhere,
and nobody's
yeah.
going to
yeah.
be able to do a darn thing about it, you know. So
mm-hmm.
they don't want you connecting to the heart because then they can't control you, you know. Because when you're awakened and when you're enlightened and when you're coming from the heart and allowing the love of source to flow through your heart, and all that mm-hmm. you do, you're a threat. You know, mm-hmm. you're no longer controllable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all through the heart, like you say, and it's not through the mind. And once you open the heart, then that opens the pineal gland, and you can practically peer into these other dimensions and go there and see and do all kinds of stuff. You know, that's where it's at. And like you said, when the soul comes in, I don't think it lodges in the brain. I think it lodges in the heart. And if you ask me what these ETs want, they don't care about your money or your power or your success or how smart you are. They want to know what's inside your heart, you know, because that's where the truth about you and all your experiences really reside.
Well, you know, I agree with you 100%. You know, I can't argue that one at all. And
I think anybody can do this because they're human, you know. And they've been lied to and said it's not true.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we don't need a messiah. You know, we need to become the messiah. We become our own messiahs, you know, is what we really need. And, you know, even the second coming of Christ is the, you know, us evolving into Christ consciousness, rising to the occasion. It's not some guy coming back in white robes that's going to touch us on the forehead and say, you know, okay, you're saved. You know, it just doesn't work that way. We're going to have to rise to the occasion because, you know, if Jesus did come back, you know, obviously we would just nail him to a tree again. You know, it's you know, nothing's really changed, you know. So I think individually we all need to
yeah. I think it's so simple that we try to make it so complex, you know.
Mm. Well, okay. One of the lamas I studied with, he said mm-hmm. there's so few enlightened beings on this planet because it's so damn simple.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we can do so many things that people don't realize humans can do. Like in that one picture on the internet where they had this being come down and then it dropped down, then it went back up and they caught it on the film. People just assume that was an interdimensional being or some kind of ET or something, but I'm starting to think there are certain humans that have developed to this point that it could have been a human.
Well, there are. There are, and I know quite a few of them. You know, even in our own self-mastery classes, we have people phase in and out, and we have it on film. And some of my teachers have been bilocating, and I have as well, and it's been very well documented that, you know, just popping in and out. So humans can do it as well. We just have to break out of the matrix that we're in. We're in this – we're asleep. You know, we're hypnotized, and we're stuck in this matrix. And we think we're a body and a personality, and that body and personality is totally focused externally for everything. And until we break that matrix that has us completely focused on the external, we aren't going to be going anywhere.
I kind of think the matrix was about the pineal gland and the opening of the pineal gland through the heart is what that movie was about. But people want to say it was like a computer type thing, but that's my take on it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, there is a matrix right now that's in place, and I call it the Archon Matrix. And if you don't think it's in place, I mean, just look at your environment, look at all the wars, look at your military industry, and look at what's being done, you know, in the name of God and country, which is just heinous, you know. And you know, we look at people walking around like zombies today, and because they're you know, they're hit with all the fluoride and the aspartame and the GMO foods and all the other thing, and they've just become zombies. And that's the matrix, you know, and that needs to go, you know, to come down.
I think, too, some people have made some bad choices and they've decided to side with these beings for certain advantages. And, of course, that's a short-term thing because when you die and you have your life review, you're going to have an awful lot of mess to clean up, you know, so that's part of it, too.
That's a good one. I always say, enjoy your light review. You know, it's
going to be a nice one. Yeah, try to lie your way out of that one, yeah.
Yeah, you might be really clever, but when your light review comes up, you're gonna be facing yourself, and there's nowhere to go, you know?
Yeah, and you're the harshest judge on yourself. That's just the way it is, you know, so there's no way out of it.
You're standing before a couple light beings that know everything, you know. How are you going to pull yourself? They're totally telepathic. You know, how are you going to pull yourself out of that one?
But like you said, you are right. What you do is you connect with these higher beings, and I think how you can tell who's higher or not is the way they treat you and the way you feel towards them through your heart. And like I had an experience once where I had some beings that kept waking me up and having a little dog push and shake it in front of my face like a little monkey or a lemur, and I finally had enough, and I put my foot down and called them every dirty name in the book and told them to get the hell out of my house, never come back, and they never came back. And some people think you just got to put up with it, but I thought, well, you know, just because you're an ET, if you treat me badly, I don't need you around here. There are other beings that don't do that, and they don't, you know, so.
Well, yeah, if you haven't mastered your own self-authority and you're only using a small portion of your brain, I mean, they can step in and use the rest of it. And if you're going to give your power away just because something's unseen, you know, that's not a good move either. So, you know, we teach that. We teach self-empowerment here. We teach people how to remain clear and very check in very deeply on who they're working with and who they're talking to and use the basic principles to measure these beings by. You know, are they empowering you to make your own personal, you know, creator God spirit connection? Is the information they're giving you, is it creating unity consciousness? You know, is there a lot of love and joy and bliss, you know, in teachings?
And, well, I thought they were just doing it to frighten me and scare me. I figured I didn't need this. You guys aren't very nice, and who needs you? So I threw them out, and they haven't been back since. And, you know, you don't need somebody like that. It's just like you wouldn't allow someone in your house to treat you with disrespect and trash your house. I mean, these things are no different, you know.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Hey, you know, thanks for your insights. I've got about three or four other callers here waiting to get on. But, you know, I love your insights, and I can't agree with you more. And thanks for sharing.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, take care. I think we got Jeff from Connecticut on line two. Jeff, are you with us?
Hey, how's it going?
Great. Welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to talk to you. I just had a question. I was curious. I know you had the memories of your past lives kind of given to you, and I've heard you even talk about some that was potentially billions of years ago, so I was just wondering if you could shed some light on some of your past lives.
You know, one past life I remember in particular where I was flying a ship, and I looked like something out of Star Wars. I had that all white gear on. You know, it was all white. The ship was white, and ship was designed to monitor the energetics of planets and balance them out and try to keep the planets balanced. They would send me out to places that had very extreme imbalances going on that were creating a lot of wars and a lot of instabilities, even nature instabilities. And the ship had the ability to harmonically balance out the planet, and it was working on that level. And I remember what's really interesting, I remember flying by Earth, and it was just a hot gaseous cloud just starting to form, you know, a crust, basically. It was just starting to form some kind of a physical crust, and the heavier elements were spinning to the outward, you know, to create the crust. And I was looking at it saying, you know, that's going to be a beautiful planet one day. And so some of these lifetimes go back to even before the Earth was solid, you know, so it's quite interesting. We've been around a long, long time, but we just don't remember.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you talk about the Galactic Federation of Light at all? Or
well,
you know, teach about them at all, or do you know anything about them?
You know, I've met so many different groups out there, and I've heard, you know, the Federation, the Galactic Federation, there's 30 different names for all these groups out there. And the group that I work more with is called a consortium. They call themselves the Consortium. And it's a group of beings, of very extremely advanced beings from a lot of different planets and dimensions and things like that, and they all work together. And I think beneath that consortium, you know, would be other groups. And one group I was brought before as a group, had some beings of Earth. You know, there was like Babaji and some of the other masters were sitting on a panel. And I recognized some of them. Some of them I didn't recognize. Some had blue faces. You know, they were blue-skinned and wearing robes and things like that. So there's a lot of different groups out there that I've worked with and have been working with. And so when you get down to the Federation, when you get down to the humans' descriptions of the Federations and the Ashtar Command and all these other things that are out there, when you get down to the human level, it gets kind of murky, you know, because there's been people for years saying, you know, max out your credit cards, you know, you're all going to be beamed up, don't worry about it. They're going to clean the Earth up and overhaul it and bring it back to you. Or they're going to take you to some other planet and have you infect that planet. You don't have to do anything. You know, all those stories have been going on since, I don't know, since the 50s, basically, you know, and all these funding programs and all these other things. And I've watched these over the years unfold, and it's just been going, oh my God, when's this going to end? You know, that. And that wasn't the information the Pleiadians I was talking to were saying, no, that's not going to happen. You know, that's avoiding personal responsibility and interfering, you know, in the Prime Directive. But I know the Prime Directive is pretty much thrown out the door right now because they are coming in to do a major cleanup on a lot of the controllers and the manipulators that have been on the Earth right now. So I try to not talk about in terms of Federation or things like that, or some of these other groups, just because there's a history there that where a lot of people have been using those names and not bringing in clear messages.
Wow, yeah. Just one more quick thing. Do you think there's any particular date to look out for? I do know that a lot of teachings say the time between 2008 and like the end of 2015 for being like the time of great change or the great potential change. Do you know anything about that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we're in it right now, and you can see it.
Yeah.
I mean, look at all the riots going on and the people rising up and you know, all the little wars and rumors of wars and all these things going on that are happening. And I mean, we're smack dab in the middle of it. And you look at all the, you know, the poles are on rapid meltdown. You've got, you know, crazy weather, you know, hurricanes and tornadoes like we've never seen before. And a lot of it, you know, depends on where you're at. You know, that if you're in Oklahoma, you know, and your town just got flattened by one of those tornadoes, you're right in the middle of it for you. But if, you know, if you're sitting up here where I am on this mountain, and relatively we haven't seen anything. We had a little snowpocalypse thing happen where all the power lines went down, a lot of trees, but that's about it. But
yeah, I haven't really seen much on the East Coast either.
Just being
pretty hot out here. That's really it.
Yeah, exactly. So it just depends on where you are. But we've been getting a lot of strong messages about the East Coast that it might be time to be getting, you know, moving away from the waters, you know, especially the East Coast first, because I think there's going to be a lot of water displacement coming up here very soon. And I don't know exactly when, but I know it's, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, the next 3 months is what we've been seeing. And it's very hard to put this, you know, down and get an exact date. It's almost impossible, but I would say it'd probably be a good idea to kind of start moving to high ground right now, especially if you're along the East Coast.
How far do you think that could potentially come into shore or to come inland?
They're pretty
miles,
big.
Miles yeah, wide, yeah. I think.
Yeah, pretty big, some pretty big stuff going on out there. But, you know, it's a mess over there, the East Coast and the Gulf and all the drilling and all the oil spills going on. And they've just made a huge mess out of that area. And I think there's no way it's not going to be cleaned up. It's going to have to be. And you know, so I would, if it was me, you know, I would definitely get away from either coast right now. And you know, maybe after 2016, it might be a good idea to think about your beach house. It might
be
in Arizona.
Well, I'll let you get to some other callers.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thanks. Bye.
Let me see. I believe we've got Brian from Chicago on line 3. Brian, are you with us?
Yeah, I am. Hi, James.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for call-ins. It's pretty exciting to hear everybody's questions and how you answer them and all.
Great. Yeah, did you have a question?
I was wondering if you heard or have been following this guy named Cobra. And he's talking about this event that's coming.
You know, I've heard about it.
Yeah.
I've heard about it. I haven't been able to get anything. That's something I need to really spend some time and do some meditation on and find out what that's about.
Yeah, but I got he had an interview with the Galactic Connection, this lady. He's part of what he calls a resistance movement, and I just got a really good feeling from him. I mean, this event is supposed to be something that's just rapidly transformational. I mean, the education system, the health system. Can I read you a quick excerpt from his website?
Well, you know what? You can give the website, because we only have about 10 minutes left here.
Okay. Let me give it to you. 2012... Hello?
Yes, we're here.
Okay. 2012 portal, and then it's also .blogspot.com and .au.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, you know, I'll look more into that. I mean, I started reading a lot of it, and I love the ideas behind it and everything else, and I'm hoping that the transition can be a smooth one. You know, and that, you know, we can jump timelines or something, you know, but, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I know that from my understanding, from the information I've been getting, is that this is unstoppable. The Earth's ascension and her moving to the next level is unstoppable. Who's going to be on that, you know, on the Earth when she's done, that's personal choice and free will you know, how much we make our own personal connection with Creator and God and Spirit or whatever and act on it, the inner guidance, you know, that's going to be up to us.
Right.
So it's going to be tricky, because I know we're going to start moving very fast now, and things are going to be moving very quickly, and there's going to be incredible changes in consciousness, you know, in the economy, you know, in the weather and the environment itself. You know, we're going to go through some monumental changes to get the Earth back on track. And, you know, the Earth was divine, was designed to be an Eden, basically. It was where people could experience the physical and reach the height of creation, you know, in the physical. And it got hijacked by lesser beings, by regenerate ETs and other lesser beings. And so now it's being cleaned up and set back on course again. And the healing's going to be very fast, from what I understand, because they have technologies and there's other energies coming in that are going to allow things to manifest much, much faster and heal the Earth much quicker. And that's all tied into the return of the Star Nations, which are the Native American prophecies. So a lot of that all fits into the prophecies and the information as far as details and timelines and things like that. That's rough.
Right. Yeah. Can I mention one other name real quick?
Sure.
Okay. Zany Mystic had a person named Andrew Bartzis. He claims to be a galactic historian. There are a couple of YouTubes you can look up. They're like 3 hours long. He is one amazing person to listen to. His name is Andrew.
Yeah.
Oh, you know about him?
Yeah. There's a lot of information there. Yeah, it's a lot of, if people want to go there. But anyway, yeah, okay. I've got about 4 or 5 callers on here.
Okay.
I'm trying to get
okay, thanks,
only got a couple minutes left.
Okay, bye-bye.
So anyway, yeah, thanks for calling. And I believe we've got Stephen from Yucca Valley on line one. Stephen, are you with us?
I am. James, it's nice talking to you again. We chatted a couple of years ago at Gail Thackeray's place. You were there giving a presentation, and you and I chatted and had a nice chat. And I mentioned to you that I've been a contactee since 1966, and I was the original host and manager for the Bashar sessions back in the 80s.
Great.
Yeah, and one of the things that he did was he took me to meet my next lifetime, who's working on a mothership. And that was a wild. Have you had anything like that happen?
Oh yeah, definitely. When we do our transpersonal release sessions, the counseling we do, and we go into the past lives, and you wouldn't believe what comes up. I mean, people are actually feline beings, like fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensional feline beings in other lives. You know, some people have
because I've been taken there.
Yeah, some people have whole lifetimes on a ship. You know, we ask, well, what system are you from? And they said there isn't a system. They've been raised on a ship, you know, and there's been generations that have been on these ships, you know. So it's really interesting what comes up, you know, in these. We never know what's going to come up and the different beings that come in. And, you know, people have lifetimes in the Pleiades and the Orion system and the Andromeda system and all these other systems. And so we're often, you know, touching on those and bringing those connections and memories back, you know, to help empower them to get on with their life here.
Yeah, this planet is very, very busy and getting busier and busier, as you well know. I got a quick comment. I know that you had connection with Inelia Benz, and I've talked to her twice at two events. And,
she's got some
information and points of view that is very different from just about anything else I've heard of. And what's your opinion of that?
I love Inelia. I think she's got some great energy. I haven't followed all of her stuff. She gave a talk here that was a very good lecture. We have it on a DVD here. But, you know, and I agreed with all of it, basically, of what she was saying. But, you know, I think she's got some wonderful energy, and I love hanging out with her. And, you know, I was in between her and Tian Jia, which is another master. High master in the like Qigong arts and things like that during the conference. And boy, sitting between those two, the energy between them was just like, oh my God, you know.
Yeah,
and next thing you know, I felt Mary's energy coming in so strong with me, and she had a message for the men, which came out.
Uh-huh.
And they handed me the mic, and I just told the men, you know, we need to start becoming vulnerable, and we need to learn to cry, you know, and we need to, there's no strength in not, in fearing being vulnerable and fearing, you know, healing our past and our emotions and things like that. And,
yes.
And that we start, so need to start. Yeah, it was like a really powerful message, and I went, wow.
And yeah, go ahead.
I had tears coming out of my eyes, you know, delivering the message, but it was powerful.
Yes, in Elia, when I met her a couple of years ago in Santa Barbara, and I went up to talk to her to thank her for her wisdom, because it was like another, either at the same level as Bashar or another step higher, because when she hugged me, all my chakras went into high gear, and her frequency is so high. And then I met her again a couple of months ago, and she's phenomenal, and just a great blessing for us all.
Yeah, she's brilliant. I love her energy and love hanging out with her when she was here, and you know, I stay in touch with her every once in a while.
Yeah, she's a great blessing, as are you. Thank you for being you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for calling in. I'm going to be down in your area at the Joshua Tree event coming up.
Oh, that's just about 10 miles from where I live.
Oh, heck, come down. Come down to the event.
I will.
Maybe we'll have lunch or something.
That'll be great. Take good care.
All right. Thanks for calling. All right. It looks like we're kind of at the end of the hour. I'm going to be having to sign off here, but you know, we're looking for people. If people want to jump in on this project of making this new movie, you know, we're looking for a lot of different people to kind of fill in. We're looking for some camera people, some sound people, some people that want to help maybe even finance this thing and get it off the ground, because the information that's going to come through this movie is just going to be mind-blowing, and it's what the people need right now. And it's going to really shake up the planet, you know, getting this out. And the people working behind it right now already, just putting together the screenplay, we're just like so excited about what's going to come out. And it's the information that needs to come out. And it ties everything together. Our ancient history, what's happening now on the planet, divine intervention, the higher beings and the lower beings that are trying to mess everything up while it's going on. So a lot of people are going to relate to this, you know, when it comes out. So it's going to be quite a movie. But anyway, we're at the end of the hour. I can't thank everybody enough. Thanks for all the call-ins. You know, great information, great questions, great sharing. And I guess we're at the end of the hour, so we've got to sign off. So anyway, this is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. Watch the skies, because they're here, and we're going out right now to watch the skies and probably film quite a few ships over Yosemite. Anyway, have a good evening.